Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, Sports City family, we are in the building. It is the villain here. It's the Caller's Cookout, the villain versus timeless, where good always wins. Caller number 929-477-2759 with you for the next, we'll see, maybe an hour, hour and a half. We'll see how things go. You might be a lot of dishes flying around, so you might need the time. Shout out to all the chefs out there. Shout out to PHI Apparel. Get to their website, use the promo code CHEFS, get 15% off your order. That's promo code CHEFS, PHIapparel.co. Shout out to Chef's Creations, always doing great work with our designs and with our merchandise. Got to give that plug out. And, of course, she's my wife, so I got to give her a plug, my beautiful wife. Listen, we got a lot to get to, but I don't do this alone. Every good hero needs a villain. Every good villain needs a hero. I got the best hero in the world, TP Timeless, the head honcho himself. TP, what's going on, baby?
I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped outside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. I'm feeling some type of way. October is here, y'all. And that's one thing about, like, growing up and gaining age, you know, because these months are flying by. It's like the first week of October about to end. Like, I could just me and my big boy self, I could just smell Thanksgiving around the corner. I could just smell it. Come on. I can't wait for the good old food to come around. But, nevertheless, there's a lot of thrills and spills, and Judge actually accomplished a feat, but he didn't get the Triple Crown. Somebody held that down. So I love every last bit of it. Can't wait to throw a lot of this good old food on the grill. Food for thought. I hope they are still doing these dishes.
Absolutely. You got to come up, too, man. We got to eat. Because, you know, your girl asked, she said, Daddy, is Uncle Ty your brother? I was like, yes.
You gotta tell her dad to send the invite. I gotta get the invite. I don't know. They gotta send me the invite. Just, you know, the Jordans, they be going to karate. They go to basketball, football, baseball. They do it all. I don't know when. You know, they babysit and they do hair and sell drugs. I don't know when they're gonna kick the door down.
Absolutely. You always invite. She asked if you got kids, too. I was like, I don't know. You gotta ask him. Ask him when you see him.
I mean, somebody know about, you know, they send it around the world, and now y'all.
Being around the world.
Tell her go to Vegas, you might see somebody that look like me.
You better stop.
I came here talking sports, man. You going crazy.
Yeah, you know, hey, man, whatever happens in Vegas.
Look, I'm trying to tell. I'm talking food. I said food at Thanksgiving. Where did we go? I don't know. See, I get in trouble no matter what I do, man. I feel like Bobby Brown. Every little thing I take. For real.
You will be there.
With the Gumby and everything. I ain't playing, but
What? Listen, yeah, your girl was asking a million questions. I was like, I don't know. You ask Uncle Ty. I don't get it.
Tell her I'm going to come up next weekend. Next weekend, I'll be up there. Tell her next weekend we set something up.
Yeah, we got to, yeah, because we got to go get some, we got to do some pumpkin picking. So, yeah, that might be, we'll have to work on that. We'll have to figure that out. But absolutely. Listen. We got another chef in the building. Let me bring him in. I'll come back to you. I'm sorry. Sirius in the building from the 703 and all area codes in between. Somewhere, I don't know, he's like in Maryland, he's in Pittsburgh, he's in D.C. He's all over. I can't keep up. Sirius, what's going on, baby?
Hey, Richmond, Virginia. Hey, Sirius. Hey, but with that being said, what's up, fellas, man? How we doing, man? It's a pleasure to be with you. And we'll talk about, as somebody who's seen Ty in action in Vegas, it's very, very possible my man got a little lookalike running around, man. My man was knocking them back, you know what I'm saying, talking to the shorties. I mean, my God, you know what, it's a family show. I'm going to keep it PG-13. That's all the money, man. That's all the money.
They're actually telling on me. Yo, this is terrible. Yo, what's the world come to? Yo, you know what? It must be because I'm dark skinned. I can't help it, America. My parents did this. I didn't do this to myself. I didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on me. I can't tell you what to do no more. I can't do nothing. If Vera is telling on me, even in my leisure, even if I'm doing things in my leisure, I'm getting told on. I can't do nothing, people. Praise for me.
Oh, my goodness. Goodness. I might not make it out of there alive. I don't know. I can't with this guy. we got a lot to get to. Let's get popping, brothers. Let's get it going. The baseball season's over. The playoffs are set. We got, you know, I'll get into a little baseball because, you know, listen, it's the end of the season and then we get to some other sports. But I got to give shout-outs to Pujols and Judge. Judge first hit his 62nd home run yesterday to become the all-time leader in the American League. American League home run single-season records holder. Some people think he's the all-time leader. That's debatable. And then Albert Pujols, I think he sits at 703, right? I believe 703 home runs for his career.
Right.
His illustrious career. This might be his last season, but he'll get a swan song in the playoffs, which will be really fantastic for him and Molina, and maybe Wainwright as well too. So we'll see how that goes. But with Aaron Judge, TP. You can lament on 62, or you can, you know, a lot of people say it's the real record, it's the clean record. Whatever your stance is, go take it away, bro.
In the words of Pop, aka John Witherspoon, big worm, big hole, big. I don't give a damn. Nah, man. Great feat by Aaron Judge, man. Like I said before up here, it's only a few Yankees I respect or like or love. You know what I'm saying? And Judge is one that don't talk junk. If I was carrying a stick around like that, I'd be talking junk. But he's so humble. He go up there, and you know what he about to do. Pitchers can't avoid him. And they got to throw it somewhere near his wheelhouse, and he's taking them out of the park. And for him to at least get 62 at this point is a remarkable feat to see happen in the American League. Pitching has always been a premium. But yet, I hate to damper the situation. I want to see the Yankees try to seal the deal. Like, we always hear of remarkable things happening, but the Yankees have not brought back a title since 2009. With all of the sticks that they have in that lineup, hopefully they can try to bring it back. The pitching is the question. Judge is the one that's been performing since March till now. He's been the one holding it down, especially while y'all playing limbo with his paycheck. Y'all going to have to pay him now because he just broke a record. So if y'all don't, I know there's going to be at least, I say, more than half of the league after him trying to get him to come there, especially California. I know he's from Cali, so I know he don't really enjoy too much of the cold weather out here. But nevertheless, I can't take too much away from what he's done at this point in time, 2022, with some interesting home run chases in different, you know, perspectives, if you will. One in the 700 club, one passing Roger Maris. It's incredible to watch this baseball go into the Fall Classics while, you know, there's still a goal to be caught at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll double quick on one UTP, and then I want to go right to serious. Is 62 the record or not?
Why? What's wrong with 62? Who said it was a bad thing?
No, I said, is that the record? Because everybody's trying to put
like overall. Wait, you talking about with Barry and Mark and Sammy, right? No, cut it off. They need to stop it. Stop it now. Stop it. Everybody takes drugs. Now stop. And not to say, like, I'm sitting up here and saying, yeah, everybody go out there and use steroids, so on and so forth. I get it. Like, no, like, it's taken away from the game, so on and so forth. But Jose Canseco was huge as a monster. Jose Canseco never sniffed, like, 60 home runs, never. So you still got to be able to put the bat to ball, get it out of the park. And if you were to ask me, Jose Canseco was never the batter that Barry Bonds was, and none of these guys were the batters that – they were when he came to the plate. Barry Bonds had a season like Albert Pujols. I think they got walked 5 times in a major league season. That's absurd. I don't – them pitchers know. Ask the pitcher that was pitching from 2003 or, you know, to when Barry came out of Arizona State. You ask them if they didn't want to throw him the ball. Like, I mean, come on. Like, people got to set up some narrative to take it away from Barry. But they know if you ask every one of the baseball purists, or even the people that were trying to downplay him and say, just tell me about Barry Bonds, the batter or the player, they'll give you about at least 10 minutes of straight talk, no hiccups or no ums or no ands or no buts. Believe me, they will give Barry his due. Hell, even Mark McGwire to a certain extent, but Mark didn't hit for, like, base hits. Mark was hitting for power. Like, maybe his early stints in Oakland a little bit, but every time Mark came to the plate, if he made contact, you were going out of the park, period. But – no, they better give that, you know, what Barry did in Sierra Fran was special, and Mark McGwire and Sammy, that chase in 98, that was – we was in high school watching that go down. Like, that was something crazy. Yeah. Like, that's just me.
No, I 100% agree with you. I just want to bring up one thing, and I'm going to go right to you, Sirius. I was watching TV today, and, you know, I watch First Take, and I watch a little Undisputed, too. I have my son here, so I had to watch something, right? And like, Chris Russo comes on Wednesdays, and he says, I didn't profit off of the home run chase. And I'm like, dude, everybody profited off that home run chase. If you don't think you did, you're wrong. There's a cause and effect. Like, that chase, baseball was in the crapper in 94. Me and you were in middle school, and they came back because of the home run chase. Made a lot of money for a lot of people, including the league. The league was able to make their own network, the network that's paying you to have your own show, Hot Take or whatever the show is called. There's a cause and effect. Everybody got rich off that. Like, to take it away from Barry Bonds unofficially just because Roger Maris' son said so is crap. I mean, you're right. A lot of people took steroids. Not a lot of people hit home runs after that, too. There's only 3 of them. Only one hit 73. And Barry Bonds had 40-plus home runs before any of that steroid stuff happened. He had 3 MVPs. So your opinion is mute to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the, 73 is 73. You can put whatever asterisk you want on it, but you can't act like it didn't happen. I refuse. Sirius, what do you think about 62 and Aaron Judge? And if you want to talk about Pujols too, go ahead. But, you know, I'm focused on 62.
Yeah. You know, honestly, at the end of the day, man, it's a tremendous accomplishment for Aaron Judge to reach that mark. I was honestly keeping a buck with you, beginning to think that he will come up short because, you know, he was being pitched around and walked, and he wasn't really getting much to hit, you know. And in the 12th hour, if you will, he was finally able to put one over the fence. And eclipse, you know, a record. So my hat's off to him for that. To double click on what you were talking about, you know, if that's a true record, I actually agree with you both. Like, as much as I'm an Aaron Judge fan, as much as I'm a Yankee fan, and as much as I appreciate and salute his accomplishments this year, 73 is still 73, regardless.
Yep.
I think that kind of paved the way for the likes of Aaron Judge, for the likes of Shohei Ohtani, and these other sluggers that, you know, are in the game. Like, just from a commercial standpoint, like, you know, Mark McGwire and Sosa and Bob was out doing McDonald's commercials and Subway commercials and, you know, making themselves into a brand while this chase was going on, thus making them leave more money and making them more profitable. So essentially, you know, what was going on back when we was in middle school and high school, if you will, kind of paved the way for Aaron Judge to be able to do what he's doing now. So there's a scripture that says, you know, your talent will make room for you, will make a voice for you. You know what I'm saying? And essentially your skill set will do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like what Aaron Judge is doing now will make room for, you know, somebody else to come up and try to eclipse that record. And so I'm appreciative of all his efforts. I'm encouraged by what he's doing. And essentially, like TP said, and I've always said here on this network, you know, it doesn't mean a thing unless you cap it off with that ring. And so, you know, that box is checked. Now we get into October baseball. Let's see if we still have success knocking, you know, baseballs out of parks and getting out of stadiums at once.
I totally agree, man. I was disgusted, and you can see he was kind of disgusted too, right, Sirius and TP? Like, they weren't really pitching to him, kind of pitching around him. And, like, especially the Orioles series, at that point, the Orioles, who had a great season, don't get me wrong, and shout out to Nate, who hosted the baseball buffet with Dave. You know, he's an Oriole fan. Like, they had the best season they had in a while, but they were out of the playoffs. Why are you pitching around this guy? Like, it was disgraceful, and he was getting frustrated. I think the day before in Texas that he hadn't got the home run, it was a doubleheader. The game before, he didn't get the home run. By the end of the game, he slammed his helmet down. You could tell it was wearing on him. It was frustrated. And when he hit that home run, you know, I was sitting with my son watching it, and, you know, I just remember watching baseball with my dad. So it was, you know, a great moment with my kid. But you could just see the relief on his face, right? Like, you know, oof, God, it's over. You know what I mean? Like, because it's been a while, you know. So, go ahead, Sirius.
Well, what I was saying, without, I didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you were done. But he mentioned, you know, the relief in the post game. Like Aaron Judge doesn't really say much, but we could tell as fans and as baseball, you know, fans that. Something like that was weighing on him. So, you know, Boone said it, you know, Judge said it. Everybody was like, no, the fact that this is finally over and you can focus on baseball, like, what would the narrative be today if he was still sitting on 61? Like, what would that narrative be today? You know what I'm saying? Like, when he was going to the postseason, like, yo, well, you can't overrun in the postseason, but that shit don't really count, you know, because it wasn't during the regular. You know what I'm saying? Like, what was the narrative beat? So I'm glad he got it out of the system. I'm glad he got it over with. But I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to say that
I got you. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, can you imagine if he went into today's game stuck on 61? You know, because of it, he got the day off and he got a chance just to relax. You know what I mean? So. I got another chef in the building. Want to bring him in? The other host of the baseball buffet. He just yelled at me, so I got to make sure I put that out there that he hosted the baseball buffet this year. Mr. Harvey himself from the 615. Mr. Harvey, what's going on, brother?
Not yell at you, bro. Not even in the least.
I know. I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with you.
In a different league than the Bonds, Sosa, McGwire, like all that was National League records. I still recognize Barry Bonds as the single season home run king. The cool thing is, with all that stuff happening in the National League, you can't argue with this being the American League record and it making it unique, right? This is a record, 61 homers that stood for 61 years, right? So to see one Yankee. From a Yankee in Maris over Ruth, and then to see Judge get it from another Yankee in Maris, it's interesting to see it passed down. That's already kind of the most historic franchise. I think that this is it's monumental. It's a different it's a different type of era. We haven't seen anything like this in the sport, that 90s run, and since what Barry did, you know, at the very end of the 90s, early 2000s. So, you know, we're talking a couple of decades since we've even seen anybody come close to numbers like this. So to see this happen, it's incredible. I mean, it's Judge couldn't have had this happen at a better time for himself either. Like, you think about it, he was offered $30,500,000 a year, basically 7 years at 213.5 going into this year, and said no and bettled himself. And man, that ticket's going to pay out for a while, right? Like, good for him. And then his development, like, the one thing I heard Boone talk about too was that he's kind of figured out at times when to sort of dial it a little bit and how to better take care of his body over the course of a full season, which is why you've fortunately seen him be healthier this year than he has, in previous seasons. So hopefully these are lessons that he is taking with him as far as taking care of his body and doing this, so we can see, you know, more complete bodies of work from him, moving forward, and we can see more seasons like he's on the field a lot more than not. So it's an incredible accomplishment, man. It's something to be proud of. I didn't see what him and Luis Arraez did. Last I saw Arraez today from the Twins, he was 1-for-2, so I'm not quite sure how the batting title shook out.
So
Yeah,
go ahead, sorry.
No, I mean, so you look, the average is close to the Arraez, but he far and away with home runs, far and away with RBIs, and even run score, I believe. I think he had about a 30-run advantage over anybody in the league. It's remarkable. It's a level of dominance that is something. I mean, it's impressive, and so, I'm glad that, and I feel fortunate as a baseball fan to have been around to see. It's just a different era, different time. It doesn't keep in. I don't care what Maris' son said. You never played the game. I mean, so you're just related to a guy who broke this record. I mean, fine, respect to your family and whatever, but you didn't play the game. Get out there and do this level. You don't have that level of magnitude, and of course you're going to say your pops had the home run record. Who wants to he had the American League home run record, and now he doesn't anymore. But you can't erase all the home runs that happened in the National League. And coming off that season in '98 when Barry and Sammy had that year, Mark McGwire had that year. Listen, Barry Bonds had one of the most remarkable offensive seasons that anybody has ever had, really. But he didn't talk about because we weren't hearing the long ball. So he's like, okay, this is what you want? Like, this is what's going to be attention? All right, I'll do that for you. And so then, Barry then, this is what they want. This is how we're going to be more. So then when he reshaped what he was doing, he still, once again, showed that he was by far the best at it. Barry Bonds are a different level, bro.
Yeah, I mean,
hey, I got a question.
Go ahead, real quick, go ahead.
Yo, real quick. So, you know how in other sports, when a player is up for a deal, the season leading up to that deal, they ball out and they do everything that's in their power, literally, to impress and get that deal. Do you guys honestly think it's
You said it.
You're breaking up. I don't know. I can't hear it. Pierce, you there? I think you're breaking up. But can you hear him?
No, he's breaking up.
Yeah, he's breaking up pretty bad. He's like coming in like,
he's still going too.
He's still lamenting. We'll get back to that. But I want to talk playoff baseball. But I mean, I'll just tie it up with a bow. Incredible season. Baseball needed it. Yankees needed it. Aaron Judge needed it. you know, of course the Yankees need it because he carried this team all season long. I mean, they would be nowhere without this guy. Like, it's incredible what he's done. So, you know, he was the only guy in that lineup that was hitting at one point. So, but he was there every day, healthy. He's figured out how to handle that outside slider low and away. You can't really throw that to him much anymore. That's what's making him such a great hitter, and that he's healthy. I mean, those are the two reasons that he's had. He's always, I think, been capable of having this type of season, but you just never saw him for over 150 games, and this is what happens when you get a player of his level over 152 games. So shout-out to him. You know, Sirius is rolling through the mountains, not surprised. So, yeah, when you're out of the mountains, let me know. But yeah, so here's the deal. So we got now playoff baseball set. You know, we got the brackets. It's a 12-team playoff. I think last year's format, you know, was interesting, but I think this is probably the best one. I just love having the wild card round, the best of five. Or I think, is it the best of five or is it the best of, it's the best of five, right? It's not the best of three. It can be, you know, let me know. I think it is the best.
So did this series, the two wild card series, the two wild card series this weekend are best of three. The three and the four seeds host all three games.
Yeah.
And it's a best of three. And then next week you get to the division series, which is the best of five.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the best of three. I think the one and done was kind of eh. But I think, you know, this one, like last year, I think they tinkered with it. It was the best of three. And I thought the Twins would get through it, and they didn't. And it happened so fast. It happens really fast with these teams. So, you know, I love this format. I hope it sticks. I'm pretty sure it will. So, I mean, I'll start with UTP. You got in the American League, excuse me, you got the Tampa Bay Rays and the Guardians. I almost said it, but the Cleveland Guardians. And then you have the Mariners and the Blue Jays. And then in the National League, you got the Phillies and the Cardinals and the Padres versus the Mets. Which one of those series are you most looking forward to seeing play out over the next couple of days?
I'm more or less focused on the teams. I'm not really worried about the series. Because I really feel like a lot of the series that you just mentioned, I think they're already going to spell themselves out. One, first and foremost, you may get mad at me, Barry, but I'm going to say this. I really want to see the Blue Jays go crazy. I want to see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. go crazy with that offense. I think the Blue Jays could actually shake some cages out there. And also, I really love and respect Albert Pujols. I want to see him go out on a storybook ending. So I feel like I think the Phillies are in a lot of trouble trying to deal with him right now, especially while that whole team has actually been playing on all cylinders too. And I don't know about the Padres, man. Ever since, you know, what happened to Tatis, it was like they kind of were shaky all season long, but they're in it. But I feel like they may end up stubbing their toe. If they could actually do it without him, it would be incredible to see if they could get to the second round. But I don't think they could pull it off. So it's interesting to see if San Diego can still stay, you know, stay on a beaten path while they're dealing with so much turmoil along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Padre-Mets series is very interesting to me. I think, listen, Soto's got to prove why the Padres traded for him, right? They gave up a lot to get him. This is his time to shine. And for the Mets, this is what happens, man. Like, they should – no offense, Mike, but they should have won this division. They were pretty much coast-to-coast leading this division up by as many as 10 games. But you decided to not show up against the Marlins and the Cubs and the Nationals. And this is what you got. You got a best-of-three series against a dangerous Padre team. And because you couldn't take care of business, even all you went through, you still had the Braves at home. It was on the road, my fault. But all you had to do was win one of those games, and you still couldn't come up. You came up short with your three best starters. So, a terrible series. And TB, I like Vlad Guerrero because he let us party in his house. Shout out to Vlad Guerrero. But I'm happy for the Mariners, man, because last year they just missed that playoff, and they got a nice young team out there in Seattle. J-Rod, Julio Rodriguez, who should be the AL Rookie of the Year, he's exciting to watch. I'm really interested. I'm intrigued by this Mariners ball club. I like what I see out of them, but I agree with you. It's going to be interesting to see. Mike, what are you liking so far in these first round matchups?
So first of all, the Mets did have a very good season. You're right; they came again very close. And honestly, both of these teams really provided, you know, a photo finish in that division. The nature of baseball is you win about a third of your games and you lose about a third of your games, and it's two of the other third that make a difference. And the Braves and Mets both won the others, right? So this was, you know, when the Braves looked at New York in August after dropping 4 out of 5, it fell back to like 7.5 games. I thought they were done. But what a fantastic pennant race. I feel like Juan Soto's starting to come around. Josh mm-hmm. Bell hasn't done a whole lot. San Diego, as far in the first round as Darvish and can take them. They're both going to have to pitch really well for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the Mets are, the clear-cut favorite, especially at home, and they will be able to line up their pitching. And then I think, I think the Cardinals should beat the Phillies. I think it's almost only fair to me. I feel like the Cardinals, Braves, Mets, and Dodgers have the best four teams in the National League this year. And it's not really too, to be honest with you. So I hope that those are the mm-hmm. four that are there in the division series. And then it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, every team's good that you got to play. Listen, this Mets team could be really dangerous for the Dodgers in a short series. If the Mets get out of that first series, I look on the other side. I look at Toronto and Seattle. It's interesting that both teams that were so close last year ended up. They were the two teams that were just kind of on the outside of the playoffs looking in. So for both teams to get in, I almost hate that they have to play each other. Seattle breaking the longest drought in pro sports as far as making the playoffs, good for them. I hope they win this series coming up, even though I like this Toronto team with all those kids. I hope they win this series just because I want to see Seattle fans get a home playoff game. That's a starved fan base for success. In baseball, they do love their Mariners, and I would like to see that fan base get a chance. As far as on the other side, I really Cleveland's pitching is remarkable. They got a lot to and their offense has started to come around later in the year as they were able to pull away. Tampa, one of those teams, man, that sometimes they just kind of leave you scratching and I don't know how. But they still just find a way to get it done. I feel like maybe their pitching's mm-hmm. going to tell off on them this year. I don't think they're going to get that first round. So, I think I lean towards Seattle being the road team that's going to win. That's the most likely a series. But I think anything can happen. Anything can happen in the rest of them for sure.
I just don't know how Tampa does it. They don't have one guy that hit over 20 home runs this year. Only Rosarena has over 60 RBIs, and they're a playoff team. I don't know how they do it. Because they grow arms.
Because they mix and match. They got this whole positionless thing. Madden kind of started it when he left. They kind of continued it. Now they do have a couple mm-hmm. really bright superstars in their Rosarena, and can we get Wander Franco back? And then they may actually have some tradition.
Yeah.
But, they mix and match with their pitching. They have openers. It's like all this craziness, and somehow, though, they just have enough depth, and they still find a way to win. It's like that team that can just kill you with paper cuts.
Yeah, death by a thousand cuts. They're amazing. I think we got Sirius back, if you're there. Give me your outlook on the divisional series. We have some fun series. Phillies, Cards, Mets, Padres. We got Tampa Bay Guardians. How the Guardians, you know, nobody expected them to make the playoffs. They're in it. I expected the Saints to be in there. I don't know how that happened. And then Mariners and Blue Jays.
You know, honestly, when you start to look at it, man, it's kind of interesting. You know, like, I was sitting here listening, and the fact that the Mets, you know, are not playing in this play-in thing, it's quite interesting because, again, you said it, man. These guys have been, you know, the leaders in the clubhouse for a long time, you know, this whole season, if you will, and now to lose it at the end and you get, you know, a game-ready Padres team. I'm really looking at that series if I can earmark any of the four, you know, that's going to kick off in the next couple of days there just because of the mere star power that is on display there. Like, you bring in a Max Scherzer and you go out and get this pitching if you're the Mets, and all of a sudden you are now thrusted into an environment where you now have to perform. You know, Juan Soto gets traded from the Washington Nationals, and now he's in a position where he's very familiar. Don't get it twisted. Like, Juan Soto is very familiar with these types of environment because he's a champion as a member of the Washington Nationals. He's used to the big stage, you know what I'm saying? So if there was ever a player, in my opinion, that can literally carry a team, especially for a series, Juan Soto could be that potential guy. You know, the Philadelphia Phillies and Cardinals matchup, I love it just as a purist and for the love of baseball. Like, growing up, it was always the Cardinals, you know what I'm saying? We just talked about Mark McGwire a little bit ago. It was the Cardinals, you know what I'm saying, and the Phillies. So I'm curious to see about that one. And AL, man, talk about the Seattle Mariners. I mean, everybody's mentioning it, so I'm going to go ahead and put my stamp of approval on it. The fact that the Mariners are playing postseason baseball after so many years of missing the cut and missing the cut and missing the cut and being close and everything, like, I tip my cap to them. I don't think they win the series, but what a hell of a series that's going to be. And then, you know, the Guardians and Tampa Bay. Here's the thing. Tampa Bay is a team, and I think I called in to the MLB show and mentioned this. Tampa Bay, those Rays are a team that you don't want to play. They give zero F.
Not in the playoffs.
They remind me of the Bad Boy Pistons of old. They crash the party and don't care that they're crashing the party. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be fun. It's going to be really, really fun to watch these games unfold. And see what it all shakes out, man. But I'm glad that they extended the series. It's not a one and done. You can actually, you know, afford to stub your toe a little bit and get back up on the horse and try again. But this is what we play for, man. It's the fall classic, man. Let's go to work.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I can't wait. You know, and the Padres, they look like they figured Hader out. You know, I think that they got him back on track. I think that's going to be huge. So we'll see how that shakes out. TP, really quick, who do you have playing in the World Series? I want to go really quickly around the room, then we can move on from baseball if you want.
Houston, L.A., man. The rematch without any devices on Altuve's chest, man. Set it off, man.
Going chalk. Harvey, who do you got in the World Series?
I got Houston. You know, I've gone back and forth on my National League pick. I've really been honestly been going between two teams, to be quite honest with you, because I could see scenarios. I think the Cardinals could get there. I think it'll be Braves, Mets, or Dodgers. So I guess at least today today I'm at least keep my fan hat on, I guess, and I'm gonna say the Braves back and play Houston in the rematch. But I honestly believe that it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out because the winner, assuming that the Mets get past the Padres, like depending on how that series shakes out with Mets and Dodgers, somebody could really set themselves up to be in a good position coming off that series.
Yeah, I mean, Dodgers, I saw a crazy stat. They've won 96 games by more than 2 runs. They can score, man. They can score some runs. So, serious, who do you like in the World Series? You back in the woods? Is he in the woods? He's like riding through the Rocky Mountains. I don't know where he's riding through. Serious. Hang with that guy. He's probably riding from area code to area code. Call me back if you're in. I gotta go. My hate for the Astros will not let me pick them, even though I think they're the favorite. I gotta go Yankees Dodgers. I was thinking really? Braves. I was thinking Braves, but I think the Dodgers they'll do enough with the pitching staff. Not slightly compromised and not as good as it's been in the past. I think, you know, they'll get by the Braves. I like Yankees and Dodgers in the World Series. Sirius, you there?
Yeah, man, I'm sorry.
There you go. There you go. Give me your World Series.
Well, here's the thing, you know, I despise the Houston Astros, but until we are show that we can beat them in the playoffs, I have no choice but to pick them. So I'm going to go Houston, and I think the Mets come out of the National League. I think that they figure it out. You don't go out there and grab the pitching that they were able to acquire and not show up in big moments. So if I'm going to keep it a whole buck, I think that is going to be the Mets and the Astros, which puts me in a bad position as a Yankee fan. Yeah,
I mean, I can't.
I don't want to see the Mets.
I don't believe.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I think that Lady Luck's going to end up running out on the Braves. Like, I mean, they piecemeal it together and they figure it out. But at some point, you won't even start. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, the Braves are formidable. Here's the thing. I don't really trust the Dodgers much. Like, yeah, they got the talent, and it's just I'm sick of seeing them. You know, essentially. So I think if I'm gonna just, you know, put some bread down on a team to come out of the NL that's not chalk, I think the Mets have a good shot to do it.
Wait,
can
go ahead,
you,
Mike.
Go ahead. You gonna put some respect? Listen. This is 5 straight division titles. This is coming back from 10.5 down. This is 100-plus wins to division, right up against another 100-win team. This is a team that has a lot of good young stars and their future locked up, but a team that has homegrown a lot of this talent. This is not a piecemeal somehow find a way to luckily skate by. I'll be honest with you. If I had to lay money, I would say they're not going to repeat because it's hard to do. It hasn't been done since 2000. So I'm not betting on a repeat. But this is not a piecemeal just find some way to get by type of baseball team. This is even without your brightest really shining and being the beacon that's supposed to lead you. And with your most energetic guy out a good chunk of the year, too. If you had said to any at the beginning of the season that Acuna would be back, but he was only going to hit about he might hit right at 20 home runs, still 28 bases. He hit 15 home runs, he might still 30 bases. And Ozzie Albies is going to miss 2/3 of the season. You still weren't going to get anything from Mike Soroka, and Ian Anderson was going to digress. You would have said this team is going to have to piecemeal to win it, but this team did not, man. There's a lot of talent on this, and it has a very, very bright future. We're going to put some respect on that.
Here's why I said what I said, and you just said it out for me. The Atlanta Braves didn't have their brightest stars. They didn't do it the way everybody else does it. They show you by desperate play because up until a week ago, they were miles behind the Mets, and the Mets fell on their own sword. And the Mets fell on their sword. and the Atlanta Braves find a way to get it done. This is no shade to the Atlanta Braves. Don't be the twist. I'm not throwing shade, but what I'm saying is this. At the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, the Atlanta Braves piecemealed this shit together, scrapped and clawed, and got themselves a division title. You know what I'm saying? So, back to my original point, I think that at some point, Lady Luck's going to stop smiling on the Atlanta Braves, and they'll have to, you know, find another way to get it done. That's all I'm saying. Like, this is not close to the Braves, though. Like, they got it done. That's what you're supposed to do. I don't think they're going to be able to run through the playoffs playing that way.
Well, you had Austin Riley at third base hit almost four runs. You had Olsen get 100-plus RBIs. You had Max Fried do the things that he did. So they were not well behind the Mets until about a week or two ago. There has only been like one day in the last month that the Braves and Mets were separated by more than a game and a half. Once the Braves climbed back into that division in late August before New York and they came close, they've been right on their heels.
That's my point. It took them till late August to climb back into it. You're proving my point for me.
No, they were within a game and a half in August. They had a series, and it took them a month to climb back. But they have not. You said that they were close behind until the last week or so. That's just not the case. I don't believe that they're going to win the World Series, but I do think that this is more than just a lucky team.
No, nobody said they're a lucky team. I don't think they're a lucky team.
I just think they're going to have to. Here's the thing. Like, he's a Braves fan, and I get it. But at the end of the day, the New York Mets had a double-digit lead in that division for a long period of time. Am I right or wrong? Okay.
No, they did.
The
Braves had is like Max Fried was injured right this month, Mike. So, you know, that was one of their lead starting pitchers, right? That they're not. I don't even know if he's going to be ready for the playoffs.
He still gave you the majority of his starts this year. He only missed a short amount of time. I think that you could definitely make a case for Dodgers and Mets, but this wasn't just Lady Luck that won three games from the Mets this past weekend. When they had the division on the line and the Mets, all they had to do was get one, the Braves didn't luck into three wins.
You don't luck into 101 wins. You don't luck into 101.
I get
that. I don't think Sirius said that, but I think that it's with some of the injuries that they had. O'Day was hurt this year too. You know, they had to, like you said, they had to find some pieces, and until Acuna got back healthy this year. So, you know, listen, shout out to the Braves, and I think the Braves are a good team. And I said if they got into that race, they were a dangerous team, and they did. The Mets let them back in, and they took it away from them. No doubt about it. But I think it's more about the Mets faltering than the Braves, you know, really climbing back. And no offense to the Braves, but the Mets blew it. And they're lucky that it's a six-game playoff, because if they had blown it like this in years past, which we've always seen, like it's like every time September comes around, even since my dad said it, because my dad's a Mets fan, he just hates playing the Marlins in September. It never goes good for the Mets when they play the Marlins in September. And true to form, the Mets just, they blow it in September. It's ridiculous. You know what I mean? So just like the Cowboys blow it in January, the Mets blow it in September. And thank God they had enough wins to get into the playoffs or the wild card. So it's going to be interesting. It really is. But, I mean, PP, anything you want to add before we move on?
No, we pretty much got it covered. I mean, you know, they going back and forth about the Braves and them and your favorite Mets team, so it's interesting. So, I mean, we can move away from it, you know.
He got jealous. He just got uninvited. Come on, you know what I'm
saying. Well, tell Avery that. Avery that. I want you to tell her to her face. Tell her. Now, tell her. Tell her right now. Wake her up and tell her. Wake her up and tell her.
She's sleeping.
She's going to cry. She's going to cry right to you. She's going to cry right at you.
No. She would do that. Yeah. She would. Why?
I know. No, she would do that, too.
That's hysterical. No, it's going to be fun. I can't wait for the playoffs to get started. I think I had Yankees Braves start the season, so right on schedule with that, actually. But I flipped to the Dodgers this season. Let's talk some football. Listen, we got week four in the bag. Week five is going to get kicked off tomorrow. My Giants are in London to face the Pack. But I want to get your guys' opinion on – I think we talked about it a little bit last night, but I definitely want to get everybody's opinion on that Bills and Ravens game from last week. Ravens losing that game to the Bills I don't know. I don't want to say it was a historic fashion, but it definitely wasn't a good look for them, right? It's the call, right? It's the fourth down call to go for it at the goal line. John Harbaugh second-guessed, might have second-guessed himself, went for it on fourth down. Instead of taking the points, they wound up losing 23-20, the Ravens did to Buffalo. Buffalo moving to 3-1, Ravens at 2-2 right now. TP, what did you think about that call at the end of the game?
Harbaugh's going to keep costing them games if he keeps going away from the best kicker in the NFL. Like, it's like, why doesn't Tucker get to perform? Like, you're paying Tucker whatever you're paying him. He should be the highest paid kicker like the Sebastian Janikowski days. You're not. You're going with the offense and trying to, I guess, somehow make Lamar look bad. But I don't know. He's still on pace to have an MVP-like season or be a candidate. Harbaugh, both of the Harbaugh brothers have done enough damage in the NFL. And it's enough. And I don't know whether if it's more or less on the offensive coordinator or Harbaugh, but at the end of the day, you guys aren't bringing this guy any help. And it's like Lamar really has to be that one-man band to carry you guys to the promised land. I just hope he remains healthy and actually brings an MVP back because then they'll have to pay him. But at the end of the day, I think it was about three or four games last year where they went away from Tucker and lost the game because of his decision to go for it. These coaches try to be the smartest people in the room, and it's enough now. Now it's enough. We know you got the power to be the head coach, but come on, try to win the game. Do the right thing. Make the right call. Don't just like, oh, we're going to put the nail in the coffin and then slip up, and then it's like, oh, I'll deal with the media for a day and a half. Like, stop that, because there's people that really are investing their money and time to come there and watch you for 3.5 hours to fall on your face. It's crazy. So that's what I really got to say about the Harbaugh, that at least Jim is holding it down in Michigan at this point, but that's another conversation for another day. But John, on the other hand, if he continues to do this, I mean, the front office has to do something. They have to say something to him. I don't know how long this goes on.
You got the best kicker in the game. Use him. Take the points and play defense. I mean, what are we doing here? Mike, what did you think about that call to go for it? I mean, listen, I kind of said it last night. If I kill Matt LaFleur for taking the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands in the playoffs, I can't kill Harbaugh for putting the ball in the best player on his team's hands in Lamar Jackson, but I think it's a little different. It's tied. Take the points. You know what I mean? Take the points. What did you think about that call to go for it on fourth down?
It's a little different when you got the best kicks in the league. I mean, I think if you're right, if it's tied, I could see taking – I mean, I should take the points. I mean, I get this is my best player, this week, guys. But, you know, to me, you had the ability to get it done on third down. You missed guys' brains and you didn't get it. So, I mean, I think they should have kicked it. I should have kicked it. But at the same time, like I said, I get why you would say this is my – you know, this is my star. This is – I think it's hindsight 2020. If he converts there and they get the touchdown and they get the first down and they're able to run a few more plays before they score and take off a little bit more time, then he looks like a genius, right? I mean, you're defined by the results. It didn't turn out the way, in a favorable way for Baltimore. And much like the quarter, sometimes coaches get too much credit when you win and too much blame when you lose, but that's the responsibility. That's the price you pay to be in this position. So I don't know. I trust Justin Tucker more than I do about any other kicker in a long, long, long time, if ever. until I probably would have taken the points.
I trust him more than that defense, but, you know, listen, you just got to take the points, man. I mean, you got to take the points. Serious, what do you think about that call to go for it on fourth down? Serious, if you're there, you're on mute. I hate mute buttons at times. Helpful, but harmful. Serious, are you there? Are you awake? Okay. Here we go. Listen, I'm inclined to take the point. That's just me. If the play is a success, you know, he looks like a genius, but it goes the other way. So, what are you gonna do? But listen, Lamar Jackson, I can't kill him. I can't kill him because you put the ball in his hands. But like I said, you gotta take the points at that point. You gotta don't make it harder for your team. Just, you know, go out there and you know, that's your job as a coach. Put them in the best position to win. And I don't think he did that. So, you know, we'll see how it goes on. But one story we don't get to talk about a lot, TP, is Russ, right? Russ ain't cooking. You know, Russ ain't cooking too much in Denverland. I mean, they're winning some games here and there, but I don't know. I feel like something is off. You know what I mean? You know, Geno took his team and is having a really good season. Russ isn't so much. So I want to kind of flip this a little bit. You got some quarterbacks in new places. You got Russ in Denver. You got Baker in Carolina, which is turning out to be a disaster so far. You got Carson Wentz out in Washington with the Commanders. So, I mean, of these new quarterbacks or any others that I've missed, like, what new face in a new place, it's just not working for you right now, TP. And if you're there, you're on mute. I hope it's me. I hope it's everybody on mute, because if it's me, then I got to hang up and call back in. Timeless, you there? Timeless going once? Timeless going twice?
Wait, repeat the question. I was up here talking on mute. Say it again, please.
Oh, my God. No, so, like, what quarterback that's in a new environment, a new team, like Russ in Denver, you got Matty Ice in Indy, you got Baker in Carolina, you know, you got Carson Wentz in Washington. Which one of these quarterbacks is just not cutting the mustard? You know, they need to catch up.
Two of them, Baker and Carson, both of them. They both are potentially gone mid-season. I don't even think they should make it to the duration of the season. I think Baker can actually save himself this week. It'll be kind of tough, but Carson Wentz can't get out of his own way, and it is him. Like, he has a receiving core to actually make it happen. They had an interesting little stint in the game this past weekend and still lost the game. They found a way to lose the game while the running game was working too. Like, so I don't know what Carson Wentz is going to do to help turn things around in Washington, but he is the guy that should be the staple quarterback for that organization for at least the next 2 to 3 seasons, because who can they just pick up? They're going to have to get somebody out of the draft. So they're going to have to stick with Carson. And Baker, man, I know you've been trying like heck to always be the one to show bold and show out. I still remember the Hugh Jackson game when he went to Cincinnati and you showed up on him, and you wanted to do the same thing when you got to Carolina. It has not turned out that way now. I got to give him some leeway because Christian McCaffrey is nicked up a little bit. They don't have the same receiver core that he's used to, but you got to be able to turn the corner, Baker. Like, I don't know when the Panthers get out of their way. They're already saying that Ron Rivera and Rule will probably lose their jobs sooner or later. So it'll be tough to see, but their coaching styles aren't doing it for their teams because everybody's able to go in there and steal a win from them.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Rule was a coach that I actually liked in New York, and then we got Joe Judge, and now it looks like he might not last through the season because it's just a disaster right now. It's just not working in Carolina. And part of it, to your point, is the quarterback play. They don't really have a quarterback. DJ Moore is a talented receiver. He looks trash because he doesn't have a quarterback to throw to him. And you're absolutely right. Carson Wentz has no excuse. No excuse. You got two good running backs and you got three really good receivers. One that Sirius knows very well in Dotson. You got McLaurin, who is one of the more underrated receivers in the league. And Sam, and you can't figure it out. Like, it's what a disaster. What a disaster. I mean, Mike, what do you think about these quarterbacks? You know, there's a couple, there's a couple quarterbacks. Wilson in Denver, you got Trubisky in Pittsburgh, who just got benched. Baker, who's just, you know, with the comments that he made, like, you know, just you're over it, right? Like, what quarterback in a new place are you not impressed with?
So right now, to me, like, I'm not surprised, nor am I impressed with Trubisky. I am, I'm getting about expected out of Baker. The two that I think that jump out to me right now are, and I think that if you look at it, like, I feel like the Thursday night game this week should be called the quarterback away bowl, because everybody said the Colts and the Broncos are just a quarterback away. And you look at the Colts right now, their first time in the division, this team is, in a lot of people's minds, supposed to be in that division. And their first time through their division, they tie with Houston, they get Jacksonville, and they lose at Tennessee. So you're halfway through your division games now, and a single win in your division. The only thing that's really partially saving you is the fact that you got a win over Kansas City last week and made a couple plays. But that Indianapolis offense, some of it is just needing to get healthy, but that team is still not where people were predicting they were going to be, at least so far, after 4 weeks in the 22 NFL season. And then the other one to me is Denver and Russell Wilson. And I think that a lot of this has to do with coaching. I think that I don't understand. There's not a whole lot of innovation going on there. And how many times have we seen Russ actually operate outside the pocket or roll out or do anything? And how many times have we really seen him take many shots down the field? To me, those are a couple of the definite strengths of his game, being able to extend plays by enough time. And Russell Wilson throws one of the best deep balls in the league. And I don't think that we've seen that sort of show itself. And with the pieces that Denver had, man, you know, they said they're a quarterback away, but their offense has been very, very underwhelming. This past week was the most points they put up on the board all year, and it still ended up in a loss for them. So those are the two teams that I think had the highest expectations going into the year, and I don't know that they are realizing those yet. So those are the two that I point to. I'm not surprised at the other guys. I do think that they have, you know, they're going to get coaches fired, and, you know, we'll see what happens moving forward. But I kind of expected those results. I expected a little more from Russ and Matty Ice. So, I mean, you know, as the season progresses, see, you know, this may be a completely different answer in a month.
Yeah, absolutely. I expect way more from Russell with the talent that he had. You thought he was bereft of talent. Not really in Seattle, right? You had Metcalf and you had Lockett, but going into a better situation in Denver, and that offense looks like, I don't know how that offense can regress, but it looks like it's regressing in Denver. TP, we talked about the quarterbacks that are disappointing to you. What quarterback, I mean, outside of the obvious, like Pat Mahomes and company, which quarterback is the most surprising to you so far this season?
When you put the ring on Shai's finger, what she says?
She cried.
She said, he went to Jared's. So Jared. Jared Goff has the best offense in the NFL right now.
That's a super fact.
He is scoring at an electric clip, and he don't even have Jameson Williams involved right now. Once they do that, I want to see if he can keep this going or rev the engine even more. So for him to have, I think he has 3 picks on the season. It might be 4. I really think it's 3, though. But it could be it's 3 mm-hmm. or 4. He has the same amount of touchdown passes as Lamar and Josh Allen. Like, he's up there. They're like 1 touchdown away from each other. So he's in that conversation. So he's been doing electric things. It's just that the defense has been letting him down. So I feel bad that we got the number 1 offense and the number 32nd ranked defense. So it, one way or another, that defense got to give me a few stops. But for what Goff has been able to do right now, barring injury and still being able to put up 45, I mean it was a losing effort, but still having these outputs, I'm giving him credit. And a lot of people didn't think Goff would have that type of season at this particular moment.
Yeah, I mean, I told you, I had Goff starting over Brady the last 2 weeks, and he proved me right. Like, this is – I said this thing. This is one of the best offenses in the league. They can score on anybody. And I wrote it in my article, too, on sportscitychefs.com, shame the plug. This offense can score on anybody. It's the defense that's holding them back. And I got to double-click on this, TP. 27 years old, leading the league in touchdowns, a tie for touchdowns with 11, only 3 intercepts. You found your quarterback?
For now, I still think this draft they have to pick up a quarterback regardless. We have Nate Sudfeld that they picked up from the Niners off of their practice squad. He wasn't even backing up no more. They have to get somebody because Boyle I knew wasn't that guy, and Blau, I just didn't feel comfortable with him, especially going into the preseason. They both look bad. They still have to get a quarterback, but at least for the next 4 seasons, Goff should be the guy. I know he's going to have his ups and downs. He's gotten to a Super Bowl with the Rams, but he knows success, and right now their offense is looking electric. He's doing it week after week. It's not like, oh, he had one game and it went crazy. Like, no, like, he's steady getting at least, the average is higher than that. He's averaging like 34, 35 points a game. I was going to say 27 points, but that's lower. So he's averaging, he's getting at least 5 scores, 5 possessions on the board. So if he can continue to get that, I'm not crying. I mean, you may be, but I'm not. So that defense just need to help us out. We could be electric if we could get the defense to get stopped. I mean, he's doing a marvelous job. It's getting overshadowed by the defense being so porous.
You got to draft defense this year. I think that's your number 1 priority in the draft and sign some guys. You should be 4-0. You should be 4-0. Like, it makes me sick to say it, but it makes me sick that I should be saying, because there's no – you should have won the Eagles game. In my opinion, you came back. I thought you had them on the ropes, and you definitely should have won that Seattle Seahawks game. The Vikings game probably could have won too. You could easily be 4-0, so it's crazy that defense is holding you back so bad, because this offense can score on anybody. Interesting matchup against the Patriots this week on Sunday. It's in New England, but I like your chances. I really do. That's the win you got to get. And the Cowboys, like, everybody was probably looking. It's going to be interesting to see that offense, that Lions offense against that Cowboy defense. That's going to be a fun matchup in 2 weeks, but I don't want to look too far ahead. Mike, what quarterback is surprising you so far this year? And if you're there, you're on mute.
Yeah, sorry about that. Surprising me, so I'm going to go right where I did. The guy that we were just talking about, man, how can you not be both surprised and impressed with Jared Goff and that Lions offense when you – what they've been able to produce? I mean, looking at that, at those receivers, looking at what they had, you had a feeling that this team had a chance to be explosive and put up points. I don't know that – I really believed after week 4 that we would be calling them the number 1 offense in the NFL. It's well-deserved, but that's the guy that really comes out and surprises me as far as all the quarterbacks in this league that have really sort of outpaced or outperformed expectations. I'm also impressed with what Jalen Hurts has done, and what is definitely supposed to be sort of a prove it year for him. You know, kind of a short leash, but they also got him a lot of weapons. So you know, they want to see results, and the early returns in are pretty good for them. But for sure, but yeah, to me, it's got
Gotham with, and the performances that he's been able to put in week in it with Detroit. I'm impressed with the level of consistency from him. And I, you know, the one thing that I want to see is, you know, as the weather starts to turn and it gets colder, you know, can he maintain that? Because that is one thing that we have seen Goff struggle with at times in the past. To me, that's the next step. That's the next progress for me for Jared Goff, is to see him continue to mature in his game so that he can handle the elements a little bit better in those situations. So I want to see that moving forward, but I'm very impressed with Mr. Goff so far this year. And I think it's funny that, you know, you make the trade and then talk about it last year, but let's make no mistake, and let's not mince any words in making this next point. Mr. Goff has far and above and away so far outperformed your Super Bowl winning quarterback.
No, absolutely. I think that whole line. Well, I was going to get to them in a minute, but I feel like that whole Lions offense is just far and above right now, playing way better than the Rams offense. It's just not even close. The Rams offense looks completely lost right now. They just can't figure it out. And they kind of went through that last year, but I think this year is worse than last year. So, Sirius, I want to get your opinion. What quarterback – you missed it the first time because you were probably out in the woods chopping the tree down. But what quarterback is disappointing you, and then what quarterback is surprising you so far this season?
The quarterback that is disappointing right now is Russell Wilson. I really believe that even in Denver, that he was supposed to really jump in there and be the quote-unquote missing piece. And right now, he's been playing like a piece of, you know, fill in the blank. So I think Russell Wilson will be the biggest disappointment. For me, the quarterback that I'm actually more impressed with is his understudy, his replacement in Geno Smith. You know, this is a guy, in my opinion, who's been left on the scrap heap, left for dead, if you will. And I said this yesterday on the NFL Free-for-All show right here on Tuesday night, hosted by myself and Barry DeVille and Jordan, shameless plug, if you will. But I said it last night. You know, I avoided majority of Seattle players, you know, in fantasy football, you know, draft, because I was not a believer in Geno Smith. But if you look at how he's been able to distribute the ball to his eligibles, how he's been able to protect the football primarily, you know, Geno Smith is playing excellent ball right now. You know, I'm not saying he's going to continue to play this well, but Geno's playing ball right now. And one more other guy that is disappointing me as of late is Carson Wentz. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that his offensive line is one of the worst in football. But a couple of those sacks that he has taken is just Carson Wentz being Carson Wentz. Holding on to the football too long, not throwing it away, not taking the check down, trying to swing for the fence for every damn play. And it's causing his team to get behind the sticks and get put in, you know, unfortunate, manageable, you know, situations, thus causing the offense to implode on himself. Like Terry McLaurin, who is one of the best receivers in our game, had two catches last week. Two catches for 14 yards. Like, if you can't find your best receiver, it doesn't matter if Diggs was shuttling, give the brother a bubble screen or something. So those are the two guys that are just disappointing me, and I've really been impressed with Geno Smith out of Seattle.
Yeah, I am impressed with Geno. I had him as a fantasy waiver wire pickup. If I could find him, I would get him in one of my leagues, because I have Russell Wilson, and he has been dog crap. He has done nothing for my team. I'm borderline gonna, you know, not drop him, but I might pick up. I'd rather have an unhealthy Matt Jones right now than Carson Wentz. or Russell Wilson right now. It's just that bad. So, you know, a quarterback that's surprising me, not surprising me, but no, he is surprising me, is Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence, it's what a difference coaching makes, right? You know, Urban Meyer was a complete joke, and now you got Doug Peterson, who in his own right should not have been fired in Philadelphia. I don't think he was the big problem, but I think that team kind of tuned him out in the end. He's a good quarterback coach. He's a good coach, and Carson Wentz, he benefited from it. I think, you know, guys that came after him benefited from it, and now you're seeing Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville benefiting from Doug Peterson and how smart of a coach he is. So I hope Trevor Lawrence can keep this going. He looks like he deserves to be that number one pick, and rightfully so. So, and he's got weapons all over the place. Zay Jones, you got Marvin, you got the running backs, Robinson in the company. He's got weapons out there to throw to, so that helps as well. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. So, TP, I wanted to get to that Rams point real quick with you. You know, not a really good performance Monday night. The Rams are the Rams in trouble? And if you want to go even further with any other team that you're disappointed with through the first four games and that are you think is in trouble, let me know. But the Rams specifically because of that Monday night performance that we just saw.
Oh, so everybody in Sports City, I want you to, like, close your eyes and think back in the time. And me and this villain, man, I mean, we done a lot together. You know, we done a lot together, man, and he was up here actually going crazy on me and telling me Stafford this, Stafford that. Look at Matthew Stafford right now. Matthew Stafford has 6 interceptions and 4 touchdowns thrown. I tried to tell him this, and they were saying, no, it's Detroit. Oh, it's Detroit. No, I know football, and he know I know football. Stafford is not that good. He may have won a Super Bowl last year, but you are seeing the real Matthew Stafford. That was like a storybook ending what they gave Stafford as soon as he left Detroit and pegged him straight onto the Super Bowl. He still led the league in interceptions last year. He led the league in pick sixes last year. He even threw a pick six in the game against the Niners. Again, he's still up to his old tactics. He's not going to change. And the worst thing about it is they're not getting Odell to come back there because Odell is entertaining every other team out there except the Rams. Like, he may have came and got his ring, but he's not acting like he wants to go back there. So who's going to help Cooper out? Cooper's going to go crazy and get all of the catches that he wants. He basically gets catches like run plays, so he gets the ball a lot. But who else is getting the ball? Allen Robinson has actually been open, and they can't really find him that much. Like, I mean, Van Jefferson, I mean, he was out. I mean, does he come back and become Odell? Like, I don't know. I think the Rams are waiting for a lot of things to happen. And oh, don't forget, Aaron Donald was trying to retire, like, this season. He was trying to retire. They got him to come back. So if he leaves that defense, the Rams are going to really be in some stuff. Like, he may actually start looking at this like, maybe I can hang it up because I got my ring. So the Rams have more than just the defense to worry about. Stafford is supposedly the head of this snake. And for him to have more interceptions than touchdowns on the season, this is not a head-scratcher. This is a concern. Like he's been throwing these picks for a while. This is not something that just happened last year. He's led the league before in Detroit. So this is Stafford. I love the way that they try to paint this picture, but I tried to tell people, but people don't want to listen because they're like, he just had to get out of Michigan. He had to get away from the Lions. No, this dude is a turnover machine. He's a gunslinger. He has a strong arm. He can make every throw on the field, but it'll end up costing him because he's actually outrageous at times when he don't need to be.
But do you really think it's Stafford? I mean, there's so many problems in L.A. Do you really think it's just
in
Stafford?
In four games, he's throwing a touchdown a game. This is his average, right? And he's averaging a pick and a half then, right? He's 6 interceptions compared to 4 touchdowns in 4 games. That's bad.
Can I the ask offensive a simple line, question, though? He's on their fourth guard. The offensive line is a mess. They can't even get him the ball. And
the whole interior line for the Lions has been out. Ragnow was out. Vitae was out. Stenberg and them just got back too. Like, there's been players missing in front of him. He ain't got no 6 picks and 4 touchdowns. He's throwing the ball. Cooper Kupp is slotted as one of the best. Cooper Kupp is slotted as one of the best receivers in the NFL. And that's all that we can see that's good on that offense. That's it. Cooper Kupp is the only knight in shining armor on the Rams offense. That's it. Who else? Give me somebody. Cam Akers?
Right.
Higby? Who?
Allen Robinson's not getting open. But I look at Sean McVay. McVay's not doing – he's not designing plays to get Allen Robinson involved. 9 targets in 4 games?
I thought he was an offensive genius. Everybody thought he was an offensive genius.
Exactly. Exactly. Go ahead, Sirius. Go ahead.
Matthew Stafford is hurt. Now, this is not negating what TP said, because at the end of the day, you know, he has to play better. He has to play better. But Matthew Stafford is not himself. He's hurt. And so maybe he needs to sit his ass down and be sure before he gets back on the field. But to TP's point, I'm a stat guy. I'm a numbers guy. You know what I'm saying? And what Matthew Stafford is doing right now is not good. But we have to take everything in totality. The offensive line is pathetic. They don't have any type of resemblance of a running game, and their signal caller is hurt. So, of course, the L.A. Rams are all like trash, because everything that they had going right for them a season ago is not going right for them now. And you turned out by the simple fact that they don't have a number two. They don't have one. It's Cooper Kupp and whom else? So, again, the Rams are in trouble to the question, but also wanted to point out that Matthew Stafford is not healthy.
And this is what happens when you trade all your draft capital to get Von Miller or to bring in Odell Beckham Jr. Now they don't have any depth. One guy goes down, they're screwed. You know what I mean? That hurts too. Mike, go ahead.
I mean, I agree. Yeah. I just think they don't have any depth behind, like you said. I mean, Cooper Kupp, no running game. But Matthew Stafford is showing everybody. I mean, to TP's point, the real Matthew Stafford has finally stood up in a sense that, like, listen, he might have been an upgrade because he was a veteran last year, but when you trade an old guy for a younger guy who maybe hadn't reached the ceiling yet, I don't know, maybe he had with that coach. But I'm just, you know, listen, it's not, you know, they you hear people talk about, oh, he was in such a bad organization, there was all this and all that. But it ain't like that Matthew Stafford wasn't the cause of some of those L's the Lions took. I mean, he's seeming like anybody else, and I think I'm starting to see it now. It's really difficult to go from being the hunter to being the hunted, right? And they got to repeat. They don't have all their weapons. This team may be in trouble. And now people are to double and triple up and chip on Aaron Donald, and you don't have like a Von Miller, and you don't have the people around him that really were able to step up and dominate some when that happened, which would then free Aaron Donald up to be able to go crazy at times. I mean, this team looks like a shell of the team that won the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, they're not the same team. It's clear as day. I totally agree with you. They're in trouble. I think they're in trouble. But, you know, as a whole, TP, what team is surprising you right now in the league right now? I mean, I know the Giants got to be up there, right?
The Jaguars are surprising me. The way Jacksonville is playing, they actually are playing, and I thought they'd be one of the bottom feeders again in the AFC South, and Trevor Lawrence has actually proven what I said, that he would be a good quarterback in the league. I didn't think it would be this fast of a turnaround, but for him to get this team going, and they don't really have the weapons that they need to, like, start doing the work that they need to, and he's doing all right with them, this is what I expected him to do last year, but it was his rookie season. I just was just impatient to see it. Also, Philadelphia, right, the way that they're running, I think Philly could run this table till at least week 7 or 8. I think the Eagles' schedule favors them to be undefeated for a while. And I think a lot of people thought they were going to be a good team. I didn't think that they would be off and running undefeated like this. And for them to have a receiver that could, you know, make a lot of corners look foolish in a full-mounted run game, and their offensive line is still legit and healthy, and Jalen Hurts can pick up yardage while everybody's covered. So it's an interesting dynamic offensively. All the defense has to do is get at least, I want to say, at least four stops within a game. They can beat you. So the Eagles are surprising to me, the Jaguars too. I can't lie. The Giants off to the run that they are, one loss on the season, I got to tip my hat. And they're doing this with a shaky Danny Dimes. Like, Danny Dimes ain't great. And they're doing it with, you know, in spite of what he's doing. He went down. They brought Tyrod in. Tyrod got hurt. They brought Danny back in the game. Now it's like, what other backup do they get right now? Tyrod Taylor's cursed. I don't know what it is. He gets hurt everywhere he goes. He need to walk outside with like shipping bubbles, like you know the bubbles that he put out of box. They got to put that on him for real because he can't stay healthy at all. I feel bad for him.
He said shipping bubbles. He's bubble boy. You got to slide. You're the backup quarterback. There's no other quarterback on the roster. You don't take that hit. You got to slide, man. I get it. You want to get the first down, but you don't take that hit. I agree with you. Shipping bubble. What team is surprising you right now?
You know, actually, I'm going to go with the whole division, and that's honestly the NFC. I can't really extrapolate just one team because three of the four teams are 3-1 or better. And this was arguably, quote-unquote, depending upon who you spoke to, going to be the worst division in football. The Dallas Cowboys has rattled off three straight wins without their number one signal caller, which is, quote-unquote, to be debatable. Again, Saquon Barkley's taken snaps from the quarterback position, and you still managed to win a ball game. What the hell is going on there? And then, honestly, the Philadelphia Eagles off to a 4-0 start. They could keep it going. I expect they're going to get a stiff challenge this week playing the Arizona Cardinals, but we'll get the game picks probably on Sunday. So the whole NFC East is surprising me. And I'm going to throw my Homer hat on here for a second. The way the Pittsburgh Steelers are playing right now is annoying the hell out of me. And so they're surprising me in a negative way. I'm going to talk about that probably tomorrow when I finally get a chance to record finger food. But the way they're losing ball games is unacceptable, and it's annoying me. And I'm going to spend a good time talking about it. But so those are the two teams that are the whole division positively and my squad negatively.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Kenny Pickett has to come in and inject some life in that Steelers team. Because Mitch is playing not to lose his job and not to lose games, and you can't play like that. And the Steelers, you know, the offensive line hasn't been rebuilt since Pouncey retired. It's been a mess, kind of like the Giants too. So there's a lot of problems in Pittsburgh. Mike, who do you got? Who's the most surprising to you right now in the league, Mike?
So most of the teams that surprised me in a good way are the ones that have already hit. Jacksonville playing well. Minnesota 3-1, I picked them to win the division. They've started off pretty hot. I'm impressed with the Giants. And then, you know, I hate, but I'm definitely impressed with the Cowboys. After losing Dak, Cooper Rush has come in, and they've actually gone to the formula that they need to go to. In order to win in this league. And so what you hope is when Dak comes back, stick to a similar game plan and not go back to trying to play Madden up there in the coordinator booth or whatever. Because I think that this Dallas team can run the ball, and as you continue to get receivers back, there will be some plays we made in the passing game, but there's going to be more plays, and they're going to be completed at a higher percentage. And you're going to get more production from your receivers and the quarterback position if you predicate it off the run. In some ways, the going down might have kind of humbled Kellen Moore and that team a little bit and made them sort of reassess, you know, how they need to win. And then I kind of feel like Sirius does about my team in the same sense that, like, I see the weapons, I see the pieces in place where they could be good, but at the same time right now, you know, they're 1-3. And the schedule, I got Seattle this week, and then the schedule doesn't get a lot easier. So they're definitely raised their level of play to be able to be competitive and be able to contend, you know, not only in the South, but, you know, in that playoff race. So I'm definitely disappointed in what I've seen from the black and gold out of New Orleans this year. And, you know, the other team that kind of really gets me is the Patriots. There's all this talk about play calling. Now you got the quarterback out. His offense looks inept, and you can't just keep hanging that you can't just keep hanging that defense out to dry. Listen, Zach Wilson looked competent last week against the Steelers, who last I checked was a pretty good defense. So this this Patriots team, I ought to be careful because, you know, if the Jets could sneak up on them, they could be a last-place team. Now we'll see what the Dolphins can do, you know, losing their starting quarterback. You know, some of that mediocrity may help the Patriots kind of stay afloat and not fall to the basement of that division, but that team does not look like a very like a very good football team.
Sir, how dare you talk about Teddy Bridgewater that was Greenwood not here to defend him? What's wrong with you?
Exactly. You can't do that. It's an unofficial Teddy Bridgewater fan club on post okay. So you know, the Raiders are disappointed.
I appreciate Bridgewater for what he did in New Orleans.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That was a shame. Listen, the Raiders are disappointing too. I think the whole AFC West as a whole, I mean, outside of Kansas City, is kind of disappointing to me too because they were supposed to be the best division. And, you know, you're letting the NFC East outplay you right now. Listen, the Giants, Danny Dimes is doing very little, but he's running for his life. I think he's the second most sacked quarterback or pressure quarterback behind Justin Fields. Justin Fields is being failed by his team. It's a damn shame what's going on with that kid because he has talent. But Saquon Barkley is an MVP candidate for what he's doing right now. I don't think he'll get it, but because he's always a quarterback that gets it. But you got to be you got to love what he's doing coming back. It's healthy and showing his business. But the Cowboys, how are they 3-1? Right, that defense and Cooper Rush isn't. He's not losing games. And he's managing the game, and that's why they're winning games. And the Eagles, like TP said, they might not lose until November. Yeah, Mike.
You just hit one real quick, and that is I'm a little bit surprised at Kansas City not in the results that they're 3-1 because I said going into the season they're the kingpin of this division until you knocked them off. But last I checked, that defense is pretty good. You know, he lost his best deep threat, but he is continuing to develop rapport with other people on that team. Listen, this team just went to Tampa and put up 41. That's not easy to do.
Yeah, what they did to Tampa is amazing to me because I thought it'd be, you know, a 20-point game. They came out and they put a hurting on Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, I don't think they're in trouble, but that offense just, you know, they finally got into the end zone a little bit, but they just haven't really looked good. It's nice having Mike Evans back. Godwin, I think, is back as well. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm impressed with what Kansas City's doing, but not impressed with that division as a whole.
Their offensive line is in shambles too.
Yeah, it makes a difference, man. Like, listen, I understand where you're coming from, TP, with Stafford, but when you don't have an offensive line, I've seen it in New York. When Eli had an offensive line, he won 2 Super Bowls. When he didn't have offensive line, he was put out to pasture before he probably could have. And Danny Dimes is a running quarterback running for his life. You know what I mean? Like, the offensive line makes a difference. Tom Brady's 45 years old. He don't want to get hit. No quarterback wants to get hit. But 45 years old, I ain't come back from this.
Is he about to clean up? Is there a box of Kleenex on your desk right there?
For who?
You ain't no owl.
For who, though? I got Kleenex. For who? Tom Brady?
Well, wipe those tears.
For who?
You're crying for Stafford. You're crying. You don't have an offensive line for you now.
Because you know what happened to Eli when Eli
didn't have no line, they took him behind his head and shot him. Like, no, I don't want to hear that crap. Stafford just won a Super Bowl with the same team. Now all of a sudden, 365 days, not even 365 days later. Like half 182 days later, now look how the world turned. Now, my arm, my neck, and my back. I'm suing for $150,000. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. He can get up there and throw that doggone ball. He can make every throw. He can throw deep still. It ain't like he threw a deep pass and it fell short. Like, Stafford still want to throw the bomb when he's ready. Like, I don't want to hear that. That's crap, and you know it. That's crap. I don't want to hear it.
Come on. The line makes a difference, man. Ask what he feels. You can't get a look at this guy because he's running for
a He don't have a Chicago Bears line. We're talking about the Rams line compared to Chicago. Wait, hold on. What?
They got three new starters this year, and they're on their fourth lineman. What if they're retired? What are we talking about? It's fact.
Grab a tissue out the box. Grab a tissue out the box. Don't let them see you like
all
that.
All right, fine. I will. You know what? I don't care. The Giants are 3-1. Nobody can bring me no bad news. All right, I'm taking.
Look, he's up here trying to protect Stafford,
no
and he's still
news,
trying to put on
no bad news. No
he's trying to put it
news.
On Detroit too. He's like, it was Detroit. Now look at him. This is the same flimsy Stafford. I've been trying to get rid of him for years. You heard me saying that to you, Barry. You know that through every conversation we have. Don't even start. And this is what you see. What you see is what you get.
No, nobody bring me no bad news. No bad news.
Okay, Eveline. If you want to be Eveline, you could be Eveline. Well, go ahead, Eveline.
I won't be because my Giants are 3-1, baby. We going to London. We going to take over.
You know what you and Eveline got in common?
What's that?
Y'all twins.
That's not funny. That's not nice. That's not nice. I love that movie. Listen. We got the Thursday night game. I want to get everybody's prediction for the Thursday night game. Now I got to get out of here. I got to go cuddle with my beautiful wife. I'm tired of y'all brothers, all right? listen, Indy, Denver, who needs to win more, TP?
Denver or Indy? Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm going to say Denver to keep pacing that division. They need to win. The Colts, I still feel like if they lose it, they could still stay in a hunt within the AFC South, even though it's interesting now. And the Titans are slowly finding their stride, too. But I think Denver, if they lose, like, it's a lot of their chasing. Like, the Chargers really got to find themselves, and the Raiders finally got on the board with a win, too. So, they can't fall behind the Raiders, and the Raiders are lagging, too. So, Denver has to win this game, even though you don't know what you're going to see with this Hackett coaching and Russell trying to figure out how this offense is working. I think Denver has to get it by this week.
Yeah, that Taylor injury is a killer, man. He's my number one pick. I'm trying to make plans. I don't know. I don't think he's gonna play. And Denver's favored. They're laying 3.5. So we'll see how that goes. Serious. Who needs to win more, Colts and Broncos? Who do you got?
That's a very good question. I think the Broncos need to win it. I think the Colts will win it. I think the Colts will win. Here's the thing,
My God, go.
No, what I'm saying is I think the Colts will win it. I just think that right now the Denver Broncos are so difficult to figure out. They really are. You know what I'm saying? You lose your bell cow and Javonte Williams for the season, Melvin Gordon coming into the week a little banged up, so we're not too sure how he's going to play. Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett still trying to figure out how to manage game clock and timeouts and whatnot. And the only missing piece for the Indianapolis Colts is Jonathan Taylor. You know what I'm saying? So I honestly think that Frank Reich's going to find a way to get this win. The Broncos need it. I think the Colts win it, though.
Yeah, I agree with TB. Broncos definitely need that win. Mike, who do you got? Who needs this win, Broncos or Colts? You can give me a
For the same reasons, TP, I think the Broncos, because they got to keep more pace. They got to keep pace, at least to keep themselves in a position to be second in that division. If they're not careful, Kansas City is going to run away and hide. But I do think that the Colts can still come back in the South. I mean, obviously, next time around, they'll have to win their division game. They can't go 0-2-1. You know what I mean? I think that the Broncos have to have it more, and I think they'll find a way to get it. I don't know if that means they open the offense up a little bit more and, have to Russell to throw it a bunch more or not. I'm not sure what that looks like. I think that Frank Reich is on the hot seat in Indianapolis. I think the temperature is increasing on his seat week after week. I don't really trust the coaching very much on either side of this ledger, to be quite honest with you. But I just said somehow Denver's going to get that game tomorrow night.
Yeah, I agree. Denver needs to win, but I also agree Frank Reich needs to win too, because you come off of a big upset against Kansas City. And then you lay an egg against the Titans, man. Like, ugh, God, like, what are we doing out there? You know, when you look up, like, Jacksonville's a better team. Titans are obviously, they're defending division champs. They're not going away. The Colts might not make it to the playoffs. They got injuries with Leonard in the defense. It's not going to be easy for them. So they definitely need a win. But I agree. I think Denver needs it more. They can't fall behind the Chiefs and think – they can't fall behind a lot of teams in the AFC and think they're gonna, they're gonna make the playoffs, because there's some good teams out there. So, I like the Colts, but I like the Broncos. I'll take the points. I'll leave the points and let it go. So, let's I'm closing it up. I'm done. I'm sitting here. I got the TV on. I'm watching Apollo Creed get killed by Ivan Drago. So that means it's bedtime. Rocky IV is on. We're done. So, serious. Give me a plug. Give me a close and get out of here.
Yo, man, it's your boy Serious up right now. 412-703. Man, such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of the Apollo's Cookout. Man, definitely check out the blogs, the interviews, and everything that we got going on, man. Looking forward to the Crossover Cafe potentially coming back now that basketball is back in the building. Finger Foods on YouTube. Shout out to the fellas and the sisters over there on Clubhouse, the barbershop. I know my man Harvey's going to plug that, so I'll jump off that. Before I leave, man, I want to leave you guys with this. You know what I'm saying? The art of being a man and the art of being a grown-up is being able to man up and admit fault and admit what you're wrong without hesitation or reservation. And so my challenge to you guys as we leave is, you know what I'm saying, if you wrong somebody, if you do something incorrect, don't be afraid to man up and take care of that. It makes it much easier on the back end. With that being said, God bless. Catch you guys on the next one.
So what were you wrong about? Because I'm always right. Okay.
about that. Yeah, I think that's very serious.
I was just messing. Yeah, I love it. Mr. Harvey, give me a plug. I actually flipped to the Suns and Lakers game. What a surprise. Anthony Davis not playing. What a surprise.
I'm not even dignify that with a response. As far as the closeout, man, listen, without the big homie TP, I wouldn't be here, man. My love and respect to him, my brother. Respect to the other chefs. Love sharing the kitchen with you guys, man. That being said, Sirius mentioned the site, the blogs, and all that. We have the NFL free-for-all Tuesday nights, the Timeless Sunday morning brunch with Thomas and myself, breaking down the weekend sports action, reviewing college football, and going through and getting you ready for your full slate of NFL games every Sunday. So come in and check that out as well. Shop on Clubhouse, man. Continue to grow. Rooms every day. So stop in and stick and stay for a while and get to know us, or even if you just for a few minutes, man, pop in and see what's going on in the sports and what's going on in the world today. It's better than anything you're going to get on talk radio or any of those other networks. And we keep it up to date in the barbershop. So come by and check out what we're doing over there as well, man. And once again, shout out to the five times division champions, consecutively the Atlanta Braves. And listen, man, big game coming up in Baton Rouge this weekend. Looking forward to seeing if LSU can handle business against Tennessee. The prospects don't look very likely, but we'll see what happens, man. But in the meantime, between times, until I see you guys again on Blog Talk Radio and all of our other on all of our other shows and things that we do, man. Laissez les bon temps rouler. Excuse my mouth.
He said he took it to Booker T. He said five times. You probably had the hand up too, like, you know, like about to do the spin a Rooney. yeah, man, shout out to the Braves. They just keep winning. They win games. But yeah, listen, man. Sports City, thank you, Sirius. Thank you, Mike, calling in. The chefs, always a pleasure doing the show. You know, listen, get to the website. Shout out to our sponsor, CHI Apparel. Make sure you get to their site. You know, get their merch for you Philly fans. You got a good team this year, so no excuse. Get your merch. Get to the website, read the blog, the interviews, finger foods. I might do one. I've been lazy with the finger foods, but we'll see. I mean, we're 3-1. You know what I mean? You know, it's a lot to talk about, right? So we'll figure it out. But TP, you know what to do, man. Get us out of here. We got to close this shop up.
Laissez les bon temps rouler. Now, how about that? Now, what's up with you, boy? Yo, we got it going on for the rest of the week, man. The fall is coming. Indian summer's out here. It's been raining, man. I guess that storm is making its way up the coast, but fizzling out. I'm trying to find my way up to New England this Sunday, so the bunch may be in jeopardy because I may be able to get in a Gillette. I got an insider that might let me in the Gillette for the game up against the Patriots. So I don't know, Sports City, so stay tuned on that, though. But pass for the game tomorrow. I'm going to go with Denver, just like I said earlier. They got to get that win no matter where it is, if it's in Indiana or if it was in Colorado. I got to go with Russ. Too many people are talking junk and pointing fingers at Sierra's husband. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, chefs. Sports City, chefs. Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City.